Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We are really at the verge of finishing this little book that we love so much called Secrets of Success for Women by Karen Whiting, Time. And it's timely home management. We've been talking a lot about home and management, and the text for today is Luke 14:28-29. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him. Luke 14:28-29. So here's some advice for timely home management. Set schedules that can be finished during time available. Set a household cleaning plan. Organize your home so you can tidy it in minutes each morning. Clean up right after meals. Keep the family in tune with the plan. Assign chores and consequence for undone chores. Well, that's lovely. I think that's wonderful. You know, you hate to have to come down on anybody, but we know that kids who do chores are more successful in life. Families waste the most time searching for lost items and papers. And I know that I spend a lot of time looking for lost items and documents even in my computer or on my terabyte. Teach everyone to replace items after using them. Organize your paperwork. Set up folders and files and file the papers regularly. Set up an area for bills and pay at once or at a set schedule. Set up a file for papers that you must work on and keep them together. Shred unneeded papers containing personal information. Toss or recycle all other unneeded papers. And try online or automatic payments. That for sure has been a blessing to me because I can get the bills done in about a half hour. It's great. So, if you're like me, managing your time wisely will be a task that I strive for until the end of my time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to just talk about you in a free country. I know there's other countries that don't have these freedoms. I thank you for them. I pray for a little family that the little child was just diagnosed with leukemia. Please send your healing hand upon her. No child should have to go through that. And I pray for our government, and I pray for this show, Lord, that our thoughts and words will be yours. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, this is a great craft. And the reason I'm doing it is because someone donated me a bunch of small little pumpkins. So we're going to make pumpkin volcanoes. They're so colorful and so beautiful. You're going to need baking soda, vinegar, Dawn, dish soap, and some colors. And you carve out the inside of that little pumpkin. You put in some soda. You put in the Dawn, some squirts of Dawn, and maybe a couple of squirts of food coloring. And then, only after you have that all set up, then you start pouring the vinegar. Now, the science behind it, soda is a base, vinegar is an acid, and of course, the Dawn just helps volumize it. You are making a gas called carbon dioxide, and the gas is a chemical reaction or product of the base and acid, and the colors, it looks so pretty. Of course, the kids will want to do it over and over again, so buy a lot of soda, buy a lot of vinegar, and get a lot of Dawn soap, and just have fun making pumpkin volcanoes. If you want to go and see the picture, you can go to my Pinterest site, and you can see it there in my Steam STEAM. On that board, I have a couple of pictures of my pumpkin volcanoes. And I'm telling you, every age group likes to do this. I even did this with my high schoolers when we were studying the ideal gas law. So just have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. We've been discussing all different kinds of subjects that you can teach, every subject, literally, you can teach every subject without ever buying a textbook, without ever going on the internet, if you just start thinking about the resources within your head or your spouse's head. We've covered some basic things with math, and I do have some benchmarks on my website, in my Pinterest site, but every church school system has a set of standards or benchmarks. You can go pick up your local public school's standards or benchmarks. They'll be happy to give you them. And you can use those standards because everything is going standards-based learning. And I'm not that keen on core standards because they kind of dumb down what we've been doing for our kids. That being said, there's some basic things that you know you need to be doing with your children all the time. And one of them is creative writing. We want students to be able to get those wonderful thoughts that are in their head. We want them to be able to get them on paper. And there's nothing like that physicality of writing down what you're thinking. And it can start with your toddlers who aren't able to write down, but they can dictate to you and you can write down what they are thinking. And they will have so much fun if you spend a little time every day doing creative writing. Creative writing means taking something and making a picture in your mind about it. And you can generate some interesting prompts so that they have to start with a prompt and then they go into their own story. Or you can just say, we're going to write a story today about a praying mantis and their journey. We're going to go out and look at one. Maybe they've seen one recently, or take something from nature that they've seen or experienced and make a make up a story about it. I mean, God wants us to take our imaginations and exercise them. And one of the ways that we do that is with creative writing. So that concludes my curriculum corner. Remember, creative writing is a very important component of the curriculum you're designing. Questions parents ask. Well, the question today is, should I teach my child about racism? Of course, it depends on the age of the child, but I think it's very sad to create undue stress with children. We know that part of the problem that we have with racism is the internalization within the person. So if a person has, I'm going to use myself as an example. I was always very blonde. And because I was blonde, I was referred to over and over again all my life as a dumb blonde. Now, my parents didn't say it in so many words, but I heard my mom say she's very slow. And I heard my dad say, Rose, I don't think you're academic material. And they were trying to encourage me. My mom was trying to encourage me to be faster. My dad was trying to, keep me from being hurt when I didn't succeed at school. And in school, then there were all the dumb blonde jokes over and over and over again. And as I continued through school, for example, when I went away my first year to college and the honor roll came out, and I was looking to see if my ID number was there. They didn't put your names. They put your ID number. And I thought I was alone in the hall, and I put my finger on my number, and it was actually second from the top in the whole college as far as the rating. And one of the other students came by and said, is that your ID number? And I brought my arm back, and I said, yes. And they said, I can't believe that. I can't believe you got that good of grades. He rights as your blonde. You know, so there was a real genuine feeling that blondes were dumb. And then when I finished my first college degree, you know, one of my friends came up and said, Rose, if you can finish college, anybody can. And it was because I was blonde. So I think it is very helpful if we, when children are young and very impressionable, if we don't point out their differences, but so much as point out how we should love and respect all of God's creation, all of His beautiful, beautiful creation. I know as I have worked with children of different ethnicities and different cultures that I've often had a real interesting reaction. For example, one little girl had very dark skin, and I put my hand and arm next to her and I said, look at how beautiful your skin is. My skin, you can see the blood vessels through it. You can see all the different brown marks and red marks in it. And she looked at me and she goes, do you really think it's beautiful, Dr. Gamblin? I go, I think it's so beautiful. And I really do think it's so beautiful. And I think if we can help our children appreciate who they are, they can weather this racism storm a lot better. Well, I hope you stay tuned for our interview. It's coming up soon. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and today we're going to talk with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we are doing a show via Facebook messaging. He is in Taiwan, and it is 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And I am in Maryland, and it is almost 6 o'clock here. So welcome, Richard. We're going to talk about the principles of family leadership. So let's just set the stage. Maybe tell us about the members of your family.
Oh, well, I have two daughters and a son and a wife. And we have, they are now all of age. The youngest is 19 and the oldest will turn 25 at the beginning of the new year. I guess you could say that at this point, I've made it, but that never really happens for families.
Right. We look at the principles of family leadership, first of all, from the perspective of our own families. And I'm older than you. I will admit that on air. I have 4 children, 2 stepchildren and 2 biological children, 1 girl, 1 boy, 1 girl, 1 boy, or vice versa. And I have 10 grandchildren. These life experiences certainly don't make us experts in the field, but they help us know all the things we don't know and would have liked to have known when we started this journey at building families. So let's begin with this first question. What are some of the perceptions of what leadership looks like in the family?
Well, you know, it's interesting that what tends to happen in the family is the old philosophy of big man's concept. Okay, so the big man is the ruler. Well, in this case, They go by biblical ideas that the husband is supposed to be the head of the house and everyone else is subordinate to the husband. But that model isn't necessarily the model that God would have. Now, when you take a look at families in general, when you look at family research, there really is not a whole lot of research out there on leadership in the family. Most of it has to do with family systems, intervention, prevention, things like that. They don't deal with the leadership aspect of the family. And that's something I think that bears a lot more attention. What does it mean to be the leader of a family?
Yes, so you've touched a little bit on why good family leadership is important, but I can just think of off the top of my head that a house band is called a house band, a husband is called that because he does band the family together. So that being said, why is it important that he understand the leadership role?
It really goes back to caveman concepts here. You know, the strongest person makes the rules oftentimes. And you know, when you look at power and the study of power, it's very, very easy to fall into the trap of what we would call coercive power, a power force. I'm bigger than you are. I'm stronger than you are. So you'll do what I tell you to. And no questions asked. And yet, when we look at that kind of a model, we oftentimes rely or resort to that with our kids. You know, do what I say or you're going to get it, and I can give you it. And that's not all bad, because sometimes children need that kind of direction. But does it really make, in the long run, for a really good family? And how do the children who come out of families where there is that kind of a model differ from those children who may have a different sort of model in play? Those are the questions I have.
Yeah, so are you saying that the father has basically positional power and permissional power?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think a couple of things happen. You know, it used to be wait till your father gets home was a scenario that you heard a lot of times with mothers and their children. And I don't think that that was necessarily the reality, but that was the one that was portrayed often. And so by that virtue, the father was given this authority, and he had the authority by virtue of position, or thought he had the authority by virtue of position. However, there's another part to that. When you give someone that kind of authority and that kind of a leadership role, there's a couple of things that can happen as a result of that. You can have people who cop out, basically. Well, they've got all the authority, they make all the rules, so I don't have to, and so I have no responsibility or no culpability for what's going on in the family. I think you see this oftentimes with children when they're moving up in age. You know, well, I don't have any control over my life, so a lot of times they end up kicking against the wall or giving up or doing things that really aren't appropriate for them to do as soon as they're given a little amount of freedom to do that.
So you're saying that in order to teach children to manage themselves, there needs to be less of this dogmatic, or I don't know what would be the best word to describe it, but it's very arbitrary in, you know, I am the boss and you need to do what I've said. And I know growing up, my parents said that to me, just do what I've told you to do. Just do it. You know, we're not going to argue about it. Just do it. But you're saying that there's a better way, or that at each level of emotional maturity, leadership is more transformational, more transactional.
Yeah, well, what you end up with is basically, when you look at leadership theory, there's two schools of leadership theory you could pretty much lump everything into. One is transactional leadership, and the other one is much more ideological based. And the transactional leadership is a do this, get that. You also have, within that mix, you have groups like trait leadership, et cetera. Well, you know, the problem with trait leadership in families is it just doesn't work. if you don't have the traits to be a father, then you can't be one. Well, there's the capacity to learn. Humans can learn, can adapt, and traits don't necessarily make it that way. But when you start talking about, in broad strokes, transactional leadership versus the ideological leadership, transactional leadership is all about the deal. If the deal is good enough, we've got a deal and we'll move on. If I can offer enough to my followers, they will follow me. If I don't, then I'm going to have pushback. So there's a descriptive reality to it, but as a prescriptive way of looking at things, I think it is somewhat short-sighted, and it also doesn't allow us to explore the definition of what it means to lead.
You're really hitting upon something there. So transactional is where I'm the boss and you better do what I say, whereas the ideological or ideological.
Or ideological. Yeah, it is. Some say ideological, some say ideological.
Ideological.
Yeah, basically it's an ideology. It's more ideology-based.
And so there's more than one way. That would fall more in a constructivist.
Yeah.
If you were going to compare it to leadership theory, you take everything and you're constructing now what your family of origin and what your spouse's family of origin did as far as leading their families, and now you are making your own unique leadership culture in your family.
Yeah, and so when you take a look at it, there are two different leadership models that fall into the ideological form, and people have heard them because there's books out there on transformational leadership and on servant leadership. You know, both of those are interested more in the people that are being changed than they are in the transaction of leadership or getting things done sort of thing. They're more interested in how people grow and change than they are in getting things done.
Yeah, so I just have to ask here about the military, the hierarchical model where, you know, in the military, you have to get things done. And sometimes in families, you have to get things done.
Yes, that's true. You do have to. There are times where the leadership model requires change. But even within the military, if you take a look at the transformation of the military over the last 50 or 60 years, you will see that the military has moved from being a very hierarchical system that is very, very heavily structured to one that still has a hierarchy because a hierarchy is needed, but is also very much team-based. So when you get down to the final units, you're dealing with teams where there is accountability among all of the members of the team for each other. You see this particularly in groups like SEAL teams or the Rangers or any of the special forces. You see them working as small teams to get things done. And that team concept has been built into the military much more than it was ever in the past.
Well, Dr. Tooley, I know my listeners want to know how you are going to make this work with what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.